This week's episode is sponsored by Helio Gas Detection. Hey everyone, this is Letty for the Smashing Skull Sessions. I'm joined by Morta Man from Morta Scold. How are you doing?
Good, how are you doing today, Letty?
I'm all good. It's just gone 9 o'clock, so we're right on time.
Nice, perfect.
Awesome.
Timing's everything.
Exactly. So, you know, welcome to the podcast. You know, how you feeling? Did you have a good day?
Yeah. Just doing interviews all day, pretty much. So, you know, just trying to be present and answer the best I can.
Awesome. I hope I have some unique ones that you haven't heard. So.
Excellent. I like the unique ones.
Awesome. So to our listeners who maybe haven't heard of you before, or the band, you know, could you introduce yourself and your role in the band?
Sure. I'm Dave Greger, and I am the vocalist guitar player in an American death metal band called Morta Scold.
Awesome. And you released your new album yesterday, you know, Creation Undone. How was the recording process for that?
The recording process, you know, it changes with each album. You know, we've been working with Chris now for the last two records, and he seems it's kind of just a different process. I think he likes trying certain different things here and there. Basically, I mean, it's pretty typical. You know, we always start off with the drums, make sure the drums are you know, where we want them before we start layering anything. Because like anything else, you can add, but taking away can be a little difficult. You know, and then we layer guitars and then layer some bass. And usually the vocals are done. The solos are done before the vocals, but usually the vocals are done last. And then once the vocals are done, then we go into the mixing phase. But you know, we all kind of take turns. You know, I might be in one day, and then somebody else might be in the next day. So it's not like all, you know, it's not like really done maybe in order, but just whenever we have the convenience to go in and get tracks done.
Fair enough. It's kind of like I can slot in here, I can do this. Perfect.
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. It sounds like you kind of did things at your own pace, which is like always a more chiller experience.
Yeah. You know, Chris, he only does weekends now. So it was, you know, it was like, oh man, it was like we'd go in like on a Saturday and then a Sunday, and then it'd be like, oh man, I got more energy. I want to keep going, or I want to get this track, I want to get that track. And then we'd have to wait for the following weekend. And the good and bad, I mean, not that there's anything bad about it, but the good part that was kind of cool was we could leave for that week and then come back kind of refreshed, and like our ears weren't burnt, and you know what I mean? So it was kind of cool to come back refreshed and then do like two sessions. So I think we did like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday session once, and then it was like Saturday, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday. But yeah, we didn't like rush anything, and he was real laid back, and you know, it was like, hey, whatever, however long this takes to get stuff done, that's how long we're going to take.
That's really fair. And if you did like the weekend recordings, you let it kind of like what you recorded over the weekend sit for a few days. It's a nice, you know, cooling off period.
Yeah, absolutely. And then maybe come back to it, and if you didn't like it, you could redo it, or, you know, or just be like, yeah, that was cool. Or like I said, just hear with a fresh set of ears. You know, that's the important part is, you know, back in the day, we used to sit in the studio for like weeks and days, you know, and you're just constantly listening to the same stuff. And, you know, and then sometimes your ears can kind of betray you, you know, where they're like, oh, we're really dead, or you didn't hear this, or you didn't hear that. So yeah, having the breaks and having the shorter sessions definitely, was pretty refreshing.
More beneficial as well, even if it takes longer. If it's shorter and you get more stuff done, it's totally worth it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Perfect Prey, you know, is one of my favorite songs off the album. It's a great time. It's so thrashing and great.
Oh, thank you.
Is there a story behind it? It's just a cool name of a song as well, Perfect Prey.
Yeah, you know, it was just kind of like, I don't know, man, you know, like just the last couple of years, it just seems like there's all this stuff happening to everybody. And, you know, just like, you know, it can be anything with rising gas prices or food prices, you know. And I just kind of felt like these corporations are taking advantage of us. And like, we are the perfect prey. You know, there's, you know, you can't live without food, you can't live without gas, you know. And so I just kind of like, wow, man, like they're kind of taking advantage of us, you know. And it just seemed the perfect song and like the perfect example of you know, that particular type of thing. And I mean, it could be anything, you know, you could apply it to anything. But I just, you know, just the rising prices, or, you know, this happening, that happening. And you're like, wow, like I kind of feel like a sitting duck sometimes in that, you know, they know, you know, like, well, they're going to need those potato chips or, you know, or that loaf of bread. So we're going to charge them an extra dollar or something, you know?
Yeah, no, it always seems that we're always going to be prey to someone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but we have a cool song about it now.
Yes, exactly. Yes, no, the song turned out really well. I'm very happy with that song.
Yeah, it's really good, so I'll be jamming out
Thank
to
you.
it.
Thank you.
If you could collaborate with any musician, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh, wow. Wow. Holy crap. That is a great question.
Yeah.
Holy crap. I never really put much thought into that one. Oh, wow. Oh, man. I would have to say Alice Cooper. I think it'd be really cool doing a song. I'd say either him or Michael Schenker would probably be my two guys. I would love that. That would just be crazy. I mean, I don't even know how that would happen or how that would work. But yeah, I think those two, that would be really cool. I love both of those guys.
Have you ever thought about covering an Alice Cooper song or?
No, we were never really, you know, this particular lineup I have now, not really particular, you know, fond of covers. I know with our older lineup from the 90s, we did do we did what is this, Into the Void by Black Sabbath, I think we did. And then we did a Metal Church, and then there was one other. But we also did a couple of compilation records, like we did an Ozzy song for a tribute record, and we did a Merciful Fate song for a tribute record. So we did a couple of those back in the late 90s. But yeah, as the current, you know, currently, nah, nothing really, you know. I really like the Creation Undone record. We're going to try to focus on that.
Awesome. It's going to be some album anyway. It's rocking. It really is really good.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. I'm glad you enjoy
Yeah.
it.
I really am. It's really good. Your lows, they're pretty low. How do you keep your voice in check?
Man, that's really good one. Well, first of all, I drink Throat Coat a lot. I used to work for a production team for a venue in town, big venue, the Rave Eagles Ballroom here, and I used to be a production assistant, and I used to be a runner for these guys, like just really, you know, Seven Dust and all these, you know, huger bands. And I noticed the singers would always have me go get them throat coat. I was like, well, what's this about? And they're like, oh, it's really good to repair, you know, to repair your vocals. So I started using this, God, probably about 10 years ago. And I love it. It's just, I don't know what it, I mean, like there's, I don't know, there's like echinacea in it, some other stuff, but it's just, I don't know. And they make lozenges too. So I usually, whenever, if you ever see me on the road, it's like, I'll have one of these with me and I'll have a bag of the lozenges. And pretty much, I use that as like more of a repair method, but as far as to keep the voice, and it's I appreciate you saying that about the lows, because I really, like, I sometimes go, I'm really not that low. I feel like I'm higher than most guys, you know. But I try to do cardio. I try to do as much cardio as I can. There's some breathing exercises. Other than that, it's really just the maintaining of the throat coat and you know, making sure I'm not abusing my vocal cords too much in certain circumstances.
Yeah, because you've got two jobs as well. You've got to play the riffs and you've got to sing as well. So, like, kudos to you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the older I get, man, I'm telling you, it's like, oh, I hurt my shoulder. Oh, I hurt my wrist. It's like, it's always something, man. It's like, I'm always coming off the road going, I was fine on the road. And I call him like, oh, hold my back. Or, you know, it's just always something. But yeah, you just got to kind of try to do the best you can to stay in shape, you know?
Yeah, it's the life of the road. Can take a toll.
Absolutely relentless.
Who would your biggest influences for vocals be?
Oh man. Honestly, I've always been a huge, anybody knows, I've been a huge fan of Chuck Schuldiner's vocals. I'd have to honestly say that's probably what really inspired me. Well, Ozzy was my inspiration to be a vocalist back in the day when I was a teen. But Chuck Schuldiner, I would say, big influence. Dave Vincent, another huge influence. And George Fisher, Corpse Grinder, another big influence.
There's some pretty solid picks.
Oh God, yeah, those guys are amazing, dude. I mean, just, oh my God. Yeah, between Dave Vincent and Corpse Grinder, man, just two amazing vocalists, man. I love both of their styles.
And for guitar, who would your influences be?
Oh man, guitar. I mean, Randy Rhoads was one of the reasons why I started playing guitar. I so wanted to be like him, but I realized at an early age that I just didn't have a lot of patience. I didn't have a lot of patience to sit down and really learn what I needed to learn. So I knew I wasn't going to be some Yngwie Malmsteen or something like that. But as far as I'd say he was the inspiration to start playing. But as far as the two guys that really inspire me, Michael Schenker, big time. Just love a lot of the body of his work, especially the last four solo records, just amazing. And Eric Rutan, from Cannibal Corpse, Hate Eternal. He's a big one, especially the Domination record they did was really whoa, his soul. Like I could totally tell the difference between his solos and Trey's solos. Like, you know, some bands you're like, well, who is that? Who is he? You can't make it out. But them, I knew exactly what was his. And he just has this certain style about him that I was like, wow, like that is really cool. And it made me start to look into some of what I do and maybe see if I can incorporate maybe a little lick or two here and there in my solos. So those two guys for sure.
Awesome. You took bits and pieces and made your own style.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I just sometimes go like, well, what would Michael Schenker do in this case? You know?
It's a great question to ask. Like, what would Michael Schenker do?
Yeah, it's like, well, what would Dave Vincent do right now? You know?
It's the new what would Jesus do?
Yeah, exactly.
So there's two distinct periods in the band's history, 1992, 1998, and 2012 till present. Looking back now, what were the reasons you were enjoying a sustained run since 2012?
You mean why did we come back, or?
Yeah. Why did you come back?
Yeah. Well, you know, the band broke up in '98, and we tried probably for about 2 years. We tried to salvage, you know, try to get some people in, but with the music was changing. So, you know, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Alice in Chains were coming in, you know, and the rest of the bands were kind of going the other way. And it was really hard to find people that wanted to play death metal anymore. So I went off and I started another band that was more, not as heavy, but radio friendly. Not radio, but
Sirius XM or something like that.
Yeah, like kind of like a watered down Fear Factory, something like that, you know. Some people classified it as new metal. I don't know what the classification for that is, but that's what we were classified as. So I did that for, I don't know, probably about 8 years. And then that band ran its course, and I had just happened to run into or talk to Eric Greif, which he managed Obituary and Death, and he had produced our first two demos. He wanted the demos on CD. So he contacted a local studio, had us come in, and we were transferring stuff and all that. And then he was working on the Death reissues with Relapse. And he's like, hey, you know, would you mind if I put these demos on like a comp and like put them out the Relapse? And I'm like, no, that's fine. So that came out, and it sparked, you know, we hired a Clawhammer for promotion. Did some promotion behind it. I don't know, got some interest, you know. And so the lineup, the demo, I picked a couple guys from the first demo, a couple guys from the second demo, and that was the lineup. And we started playing out again, and we started just playing the demo stuff. And Jason Hellman, which was my bass player at the time, he wanted to, me and him wanted to write some newer material. And Jeff Yeager was in the band at the time, and he was like, yeah, I'm not, you know, it didn't seem like he really wanted to, you know, really, I mean, it didn't seem like he really wanted to write or kind of move forward. I know he had some health issues going on. We were like, okay, fine. So a couple of the guys left the band. And then of course we got a new lineup, and then, you know, Eric House enters. And then at that point it was like, hey, let's write some new material, you know? And it just seemed like, we just had all this hunger and energy to write this new stuff. And we eventually did an EP, and we kind of threw it out there, you know, kind of like you take a noodle and you throw it to the wall, see if it sticks. And we're like, let's just see what happens. And it the you know people started really responding to it, and you know, sold a couple hundred CDs, and we're like, all right, you know, there's maybe there's some interest here. And at that point, we just kind of kept the wheels rolling, and you know, I ended up talking with Peaceville, and I had been in contact with them for many years before. And I contacted them about doing a new record, and yeah, after us, you know, talking over it, you know, a little bit here and there, and discussing some contracts, and yeah, next thing you know, we're back in the saddle again.
More to Scalder back.
Absolutely.
Awesome. And, you know, looking back to 1990, you know, More to Scald, is there a story behind the band name, or?
I don't really know if there's a story behind it, but the word, it's kind of weird. It's like when a buddy of mine at the time had come up with the name, and or he had a bunch of names, and he and I looked at him like, no, that one, More to Scald. Oh, you want that one? I'm like, yeah, I want that one. And I really didn't know what it meant. I don't know if he even knew what it meant. So we went to a local college to their library. Because Jason was my bass player at the time. His mom was a teacher, so she had access or whatever. So we went to this huge college, just massive library. And we're like looking through all the books, because this is pre-internet. And we're looking through all the books and stuff. We're trying to find out meanings and translations and all this other stuff. And we found out that Morta is a Greek word for death. And then we found out that Skald was somewhat of a Norse mythology. But later on in my research, and once the internet has come upon us, I did some more research, and if you put it in and you put More to Scald meaning, we got a lot of a few different references, but overall it seems like the word together is about the beginning to the end of life in general. So almost like the creation of life from the beginning to the end. There was even some fates, or the three witches, the three fates, or something like that, about how they decide the fate of of a baby, of an unborn baby, or you know, a baby's born. They kind of decide its fate, and something about spinning the thread, cutting the thread, you know, kind of representing the beginning, the middle of your life, and then, you know,
that's
the end. So yeah, so like I said, I usually roughly loosely say it's about, I would say, the beginning and the journey from one's beginning to the end of their life, so to speak.
That's so metal. That is so cool.
Yeah, it was. I was like, whoa, all right, this is pretty cool, you know.
That is really cool. Do you have any album releases you're looking forward to in 2024, or any that you've, you know, heard so far, or any favorites?
I honestly usually, like, I don't really look for stuff anymore. Like, I'll wait, see, you know, if I see something on my Google feed. But the one that, the new Exhorter, I don't know if it's out yet or not, but that one I've heard a lot of really good things about. So I'm really looking forward to that. I haven't, I'm trying to think, I really haven't heard of anybody else except, I know Job for a Cowboy's got one out, so I haven't checked that one out. But otherwise than that, I want to really check out the Exhorter. I heard a lot of really good things about it.
Yeah, I heard the Job for a Cowboy single doing really well. It's making the rounds on the news outlets and stuff. So I'm like, gotta check them out.
Yeah, it seems like they're like kind of like, I know a lot of times I'll see the reviews and they're like right in there with us, you know. So it seems like we're all kind of getting the same coverage here.
All in the same circle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a small circle. Well, it's big, but it's a small world.
it's nice. It's a good community.
Absolutely. Oh, the best.
One of the best. And we're on to our last question. Do you have any advice for anyone wanting to start a band in 2024?
Oh, man. Phew. I would honestly say, if you want to get a career or go to college or something before you do it, and this is just from my standpoint of being in the business for 32 years, I would say, before you want to be in a band, great. A lot of avenues to do it, you know, especially with social media and everything we got now. But I would say get an education first. Get an education because, you know, right now we have probably 10 times the bands now than we did 10 years ago. So, you know, and I'm not saying it in a derogatory or negative way. I'm just saying there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of competition. And right now, you know what I mean? For anybody just starting to be a musician now and going like, well, I'm going to make it. You know, I mean, it's great to have a dream. You have to have those. It's what keeps us going. But I would say, you know, get an education first, you know, or get a trade or get something that in case that if the musician thing doesn't pan out for you, you know, you do have something to fall back on. Because, you know, let's face it, it to be in this type of a band and to do what any of us do, it takes a lot of commitment. It takes a lot of commitment and a lot of hard work. And I've played with a lot of great musicians over my lifetime. And I've seen a lot of musicians come and go. You know what I mean? And I've seen a lot of guys where they might be good for 5 years and then they're like, well, I want to start a family. You know, and they're not saying there's anything wrong with that. Just saying, you know, their lives, you know, kind of go up and down and ebb and flow. And so sometimes things change for people. So I know this wasn't maybe a direct answer to the question, but I would say, you know, get an education first. Get an education, enjoy your life a little bit. And then, you know, if it's something you want to do, yeah, I say pursue it, you know. But, you know, then this way, if for some reason you know, the person decides down the road it's not for them anymore, or they decide, you know, whatever, they want to go a different route, then they have, you know, a little something to you know, kind of back up and, you know, don't have to necessarily go like, I put all my eggs in one basket, you know. And that's just coming from my perspective, like I said, of being in the business for 32 years. I look back and I go, yeah, I wish I would have got an education, or, you know, wish I would have maybe went to college or done something a little different to, you know, maybe have a trade or, you know, whatever. But it's rough when you're drawn to this music, it becomes part of your life. So it, you know, I mean, you got to eat it, sleep it, breathe it. You know what I mean? So
that's a really fair perspective from, like, you know, it's, you know, chase the dream, but also have a backup.
Absolutely. Always got to have a plan B. That's why I always tell a young kid where I work, I tell young kids, always have a plan. Always have a plan.
Always have a plan B, C, and D, just in case.
Or that too. Yes, there you go. That's even better. I like that better.
There we go. You know, David, thank you so much for sitting down and talking with me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate all your hard work, and I thank you so much, and I'm glad you enjoy the record.
No problem. And Creation Undone is out now.
Yes.